husband.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Apologies, that's our backup, one of our backup plans.
Okay. Did your comment end, Mr. Chair? I would make a comment.
Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to support 154A, not on the merits of the proposal itself, but as I expressed several times now, I'd like to talk about this at our March meeting, if we do have one. Probably, in reality, I should have brought up the whole concept of having a March meeting before bringing up 154A directly, because if that were the case, I would have moved to postpone this proposal to be taken up at that time. But if we aren't going down that path, then I'll vote against it and hope the authors put in another one.
Okay, any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
I would just note that, I think that this item, as it's expressed in the current discussion, it would be clearly a violation. We'd have a conservation issue as well as a constitutional violation. Department of Law's memo, one of the bullet points they noted from the recent court decision indicates that subsistence uses cannot be constitutionally limited to members of communities that had historically practiced subsistence hunting and fishing. And I don't think I need to go any further than that. I'll be voting against 154A.
Okay. Any additional comments? Ready for the question on 154A?
Tip called for a comment, Ted.
Oh, Tip, go ahead.
Well, to follow up on Teresa's, I agree with her that you can't single out a group, but I do see a reason for emergency order or something on these caribou. So with that said, I'm going to have a hard time supporting any of these, but I think we need to look at maybe having the department do an emergency order or something if we have too many caribou in the area.
Okay, Kip, we're still working on moose on the A part of this, the first one, and we'll get to caribou on the next one.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Stash.
Sorry to back up a little bit, but my take on this is, after glancing through it, this isn't the part where if this affects outnumber the group, but they're just saying they're speaking for themselves. They can't speak for the other people, so that kind of changes it a little bit. That
okay. Any further comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would briefly comment that I think Stas has captured my understanding of what they've written anyway. They're speaking for their group. They wrote in quite a bit of detail here, and also in their supporting comments to this proposal, that they've met all the requirements of the board. It may be one of a relatively few groups that may actually be capturing the intent of the board all the way through, and they didn't want to speak for the other groups, and they just asked that they be allowed to move forward with it, and then I think it shows up elsewhere in the proposal or in the comments, at least, that they felt that each group should ask, they should be different, each group should be treated as different communities and such things. So there's a lot to discuss about this, but I think it'd be better off done at another meeting. So I'm only voting against this for that reason, because I do have a problem with the extending the season right now. Okay.
Okay, any additional comments? Ready for the question on 154A?
Mr. Chair, I call for the question on 154A. A.
Okay, the question's been called on 154A. Christy, would you board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, final action on proposal 154A. Mr. Brown?
No.
Ms. Sagarova?
No.
Mr. Fanning?
No.
Mr. Hoffman?
Yes.
Chairman Spraker?
No.
And Vice Chair Turner?
No.
That proposal fails by a vote of 1 yea to 5 nays.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt Proposal 154B to increase the CSH quota of caribou in the household bag limit from 1 to 2 and extend the season to at least September 25th.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We have Proposal 154B before us. Board members, comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Cheryl. I would request the same clarification on the caribou proposal that 154B that we had on 154A.
Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to comment.
Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, my understanding is the authors did intend this to be for the Otner Group alone, but I am going to support this proposal, and it's based on conservation concerns, and the department's already identified that they need a substantial harvest of caribou to help bring this herd into objectives that we'd like to have, or help it maintain its viability in the long run, at least. So I would be willing to amend this proposal to have it apply to all CSH groups.
Second.
Okay, it's been amended and seconded that this applies to all CSH and Tier 1 households, that the bag limit be changed from 1 to 2 and the season be extended to end September 25th. Does that capture your amendment, Mr. Turner?
Yes, it does, and I had omitted to mention Tier 1, but that's correct. Yes.
Okay, so everyone except the draw hunts.
Yep.
Now, the other part of it, do you want to change the quota, or do you want to just – the quota now is 300. You want to change the quota, and this will be my comments, because I would support this if it was to just change the bag limit for the CSH hunters and the Tier 1 hunters to a household bag limit of 1 to 2, not change the season and not change the quota. Otherwise, I can't support this one. Because we're not sure what's going to happen next year with the caribou hunts, you know, whether that 25 September season will be justified. And I'd rather deal with these later when we know more about the status of the caribou and the, you know, the harvest this year. We still have this winter hunt that started here a few days ago going on.
Mr. Chair, this is Bruce. If I may interject briefly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think this would be maybe a good time before you get too far into this for a little staff analysis on this as amended.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing I'd like to point out is that if you change the bag limit for CSH and not the Tier 1, which is, I believe, what the current amendment is. Does it include the Tier 1 hunt as well?
Not the draw.
Yes.
It does.
Not the draw. Okay. So then that presents two problems. It doesn't present the first problem I was going to relate. This will probably attract more caribou hunters into the region and make it more attractive, and I just wanted to put that on the record. I would also add that many of those hunters will probably be carrying, of the Tier 1 hunters, would probably be carrying a moose harvest ticket as well. And lastly, then, with the harvest being closer to 200 this year in the CSH, it would push up against the cap very likely. And so that would limit the additional harvest to approximately 100-some animals. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you for that information. That really makes a difference in my thoughts on it. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate Director Dale pointing out the increase in participation that would likely occur. I certainly don't have a problem with increasing opportunity, and that is suggested in some of the OTNA letters that we've received, and specifically increasing the bag limit from 1 to 2. But I think the other important part of what I believe they are communicating to the board, at least as I understand it, is a concern with a, increased participation in the hunt. And I'm not suggesting that that's a bad thing, especially at the Tier 1 plus level, but I think that is a concern expressed by OTNA, and I think we need to at least make that part of our consideration in looking at this proposal, this 154B.
Bruce, I have a question. We still have the a designated hunter option for the community subsistence hunters. Is that still in place?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's still in place.
Okay, so they have an option there to have one person go out and hunt for someone else still. Okay. Any other comments on 154B as amended?
I have a another question.
Please go ahead.
How would the department, in terms of a conservation concern or addressing a conservation concern, how would the department view also increasing the bag limit in the draw? And that's probably a little odd. I don't know that we've ever done a two-bag limit in a draw hunt. But, you know, if the population increases such that we, from a conservation standpoint, would like to harvest more caribou, I'm wondering why we wouldn't modify the draw in some fashion to provide benefit there as well.
Mr. Chair, through the chair, there's certainly appreciate that question because I failed to make one other point. There's certainly enough caribou out there right now to accommodate increased bag limits for everyone. There very likely won't be, I can guarantee you there won't be forever. But certainly we approach this, and if you do increase the bag limits for summer fall groups or hunts, is that until the next regularly scheduled meeting, we can take the additional harvest. There are no limitations. But we would be putting in something more complex at that time, a threshold over which around a certain harvest quota where the bag limit would shift from one to two. And that'll give us the tool we need to make sure that the seasons can go on a reasonable length of time when the harvest quotas are lower in the future. But again, for the next couple of years, barring a catastrophic winter, we will be able to entertain pretty high harvests.
Okay, thank you. I really think that something like that, an approach like that, would be more advisable than where we're at here today. I just am really uncomfortable with trying to capture OTNA's intent in three proposals and then vote them up or down, particularly if we're going to consider looking at a special meeting in March. And I'll stop there.
Teresa, I share the same concerns, even though I'm the author of this mess. That's it, Nate.
Yeah, I'm not going to support this one. I think what we just heard from the department is a much better approach. I was very interested in seeing the bag limit increase for this year. I'm not interested in locking in the September 25, which is part of this amendment. But I do think there should be some sort of a trigger mechanism in place, because as Bruce said, this high number of caribou is not going to last forever. There's going to be a day when these numbers decline, caribou populations go up and down naturally, and then we're going to be locked into this system. So I'd rather see some sort of management plan in place rather than just jumping this bag limit right now. So I'm not going to support it. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to support the proposal as amended. Are we on the amendment still? I'm starting to lose it here. Did we vote on the amendment?
You did not.
No, you you've amended your proposal. We haven't voted on the amendment yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not liking my amendment because of the increased participation angle that Teresa also caught, and that is problematic. That's why we're even having these discussions in the first place. And I'm really not interested in doing anything to exacerbate that issue. I was only trying to help the department have more tools available to address potential concerns or imminent concerns that they've already identified to us with this unharvested population that's out there.
Okay, I guess we need to vote on your amendment. Christy, you want to, are you ready for the question on the amendment? I guess we are. Christy, would you poll the board on the amendment for Proposal 154B?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I didn't catch the entire amendment. I had a little issue going still with the audio recording, but what I had heard part of it was that it was to apply to all of the CSH participants?
And Tier 1, yes. That was the
and
amendment.
Tier 1?
CSH and Tier 1, that was the amendment.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, I'll go ahead and call the roll. Mr. Hoffman?
No.
Chairman Spraker?
No.
Vice Chairman Turner?
No.
Mr. Brown?
No.
And Member Sager Alba?
No.
And Mr. Fanning?
No.
So the amendment fails.
Okay, board members, we're now back to the proposal 154B. Any additional comments before we vote on that one?
Mr. Chair, I have a question for you. Is there any path within what's in front of us at the moment to address the goal that you identified that you were looking for with increased caribou harvest to help with that situation?
Well, there could be. If we pass this as it's written, it would only increase it for the community subsistence hunters, not all the Tier 1 hunters. And I guess the question would be to Bruce, what kind of added increase in effort would that be? Would that draw more hunters to this? I mean, participation is always good. Unless it's so overcrowded, no one can effectively hunt. And I guess that's kind of where we are now. So, Bruce, any comments on the impact of that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. If only the bag limit was increased to 2 for the CSH, it may have the effect of drawing in more hunters to Unit 13 because it's a 2 caribou bag limit in a close area. In addition, it might draw existing Tier 1 hunters into the CSH because there's a 2 caribou bag limit there, and they have the same requirement that they hunt moose in that unit as well. So there would be not much barrier to going the extra effort to join the CSH. And
Mr. Chair.
The thing it would do is then the cap would become more into play, too. The cap would almost, in my estimation, be reached.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of, attract more of the Tier 1 hunters into the CSH hunt. So,
Mr. Chair, I need to clarify something.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep. At the beginning of this discussion, Cheryl asked us to clarify, or asked me to clarify, whether my intent was to interpret the author's intent of this proposal as being the same as 154A. In other words, does it apply only to the OTNA group? And I replied that yes, that's how I interpreted it. Then I amended it to expand it out to the other groups as well. By failing that amendment, it is back to only the OTNA group. That's the way it would currently stand right now, as I explained it at the beginning of the discussion.
And then if it's only limited to the OTNA group, then we get into the legal question of whether or not that's legal, you know, under our constitution to allow for, you know, a special, you know, a benefit for just one, providing a special benefit for one group of people. We can't do that.
Well, the way the authors, I'm looking for the language right now, the way the authors described this, they actually addressed that specifically. I'm looking for it here. In the, I think it's in the proposal. One second. Well, I'll just let them speak for themselves on this. OTNA requests this relief on behalf of those communities and households participating in the OTNA group. OTNA believes that the Board of Game has the authority to limit any tax actions it takes in response to this request for a special meeting to the OTNA group. OTNA is the only group requesting this relief, and the OTNA communities are the only communities that have developed a record before the board demonstrating the need for the any-bowl allocation and an extension season in order to meet subsistence needs. That's referring to the Moose specifically, I guess. But I think they generally meant for that comment to apply to everything they're asking for here. This does not invoke any local or rural residency concerns, since there are members of the OTNA CSHs that are from urban areas and yet remain closely connected to the OTNA Village's customary traditional subsistence way of life. So that's in their own words anyway.
I should ask Cheryl on this one. Cheryl, is that still a reason that we could support this?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I disagree with OTNA's characterization of what the law allows in this regard. We've got the language in McDowell that says that you can't have a preference for any particular group, and in that case, it was a rural-urban divide, but the language in McDowell was interpreting the equal access provisions and prohibits specific preference between similarly situated users. So, and then the case that we have from the Alaska Supreme Court says that the user group is all Alaskans who are eligible to participate. The qualification is that they agree to follow the subsistence patterns that have been adopted by the OTNA people, and then initially followed by the OTNA people and then later adopted by others. So that's one constitutional limitation. At a Tier 1 level, the courts have pretty consistently shot down any attempt to distinguish between the users. And we're in a Tier 1 plus situation. So all Alaskans have to be essentially treated equally and be eligible to participate. Now, there's another point that I would like to make. In that case last year, the Alaska Fish and Wildlife Conservation Fund that challenged the community subsistence hunt, one of the footnotes, and I'm referring to footnote 8 here, the court noted that there was some concern expressed that the community harvest permits would be issued per person, while individual permits would be issued per household. And the court went on to say that this potential inequity never occurred because the board limited hunters in Unit 13 to one caribou per household, regardless of whether they held a community harvest permit or an individual permit. By noting that in a footnote, there's a concern that the court could distinguish the bag limit. If you have a differential between subsistence users as a Tier 1 level but by bag limit differences, that could be something that the court would not look favorably on. That's, again, a footnote in a case, and they didn't it's dicta. I would just throw that out as a matter of caution. I'm not exactly sure what the court would do with that, but I wanted to make you aware of that. The real concern that we do know is that any limitation, particularly to one particular group, is most likely to be struck down.
Mr. Chair, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Nate.
My understanding of what OTNA has presented us here within this proposal itself is that that the ANS was established originally based on their group, and now more groups are participating, so the ANS has been divided. They're troubled by that, and I think they may have some merit to that argument. The second point is that they said, verbatim again, this is the bottom of page 2 and part of page 3, the final page on this proposal, OTNA requests this relief on behalf of those communities and households participating in the OTNA group. OTNA believes the board game has the authority to limit any action in response to this request for a special meeting. OTNA is the only group requesting this relief, and the OTNA communities are the only communities that have developed a record before the board demonstrating, and then it goes on. The way I read that is OTNA is basically saying, we're not asking you to exclude the others. The opportunity is still there for them to present the case for their for a separate ANS for themselves even. They're just saying that we've done it, and it's being divided from their perspective unfairly. And I don't see exclusionary language in this. Basically, they're basically saying, here's what needs to be addressed. We've already met the requirements. Everyone else is – it's possible for the others to meet the requirements themselves. I get it. There's more nuance to this from a standing perspective that we've had as a board or counsel that we've gotten from the Department of Law, but I don't think their argument is entirely unreasonable, and that's probably why we need to have a special meeting. That's it.
We need to kind of move on. I'm going to offer my comments, and then I'd like to hear others comment on this one as well. You know, one of the issues that we have been confronted with is a crowding issue and competition. And as Director Dale just pointed out, there's a good chance, and I'm sure it's a sure bet, that if we go to two caribou, although I still think we need to harvest when we can, and I've been in favor of that. But if you look at all the other consequences, you go to two caribou, and you'll have a lot of people join in the CSH hunts, and they'll be more crowded, more competition, you know, more angst among the people that are trying to get meat for their families. And this is what we're dealing with now. So I think we're just adding to the problem by supporting this. So anyway, the legal part is the other part that just there's no question for me that we're running up against legal issues here. And for that reason alone, I'm not going to support this one. So that's my comment. Any other board member comments on B? And if B is in its original form.
This is Kip. Yeah, Ted, this is Kip.
Kip, go ahead.
Just listening and listening to Cheryl and Law and everybody else, it seems like everything that's been put before us on these from this Proposal 154 is problematic, and we can't do it because of a certain user group trying to use it without the others. With that said, you know, maybe they're trying to change the wrong law here. Maybe they need to work on the other law. But if the department were to see a problem where there's too many animals one way or another, they have the ability to do emergency orders and change that and take out the amount of caribou that they need to take out to meet those numbers. So with that, I can't support this, but I think there's other ways that we can get more caribou or moose or whatever the animals are and go around this problem. So I can't support it in this way.
Okay, Kip, any other comments, brief comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, because I think it may be missing in the discussion here, with regard to development of the pattern of use that's recognized in the CSH. There is also the other, what's referred to sometimes as the individualized pattern that is also recognized as subsistence use of moose and caribou in Unit 13. And that's been clearly recognized in the findings by the board. We recognize those, that pattern of use, in addition to the community pattern in the 2011 findings. And I think, and Cheryl, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that when the ANS was developed for moose and caribou in, I'm pretty sure it was in 2009, when the community hunt first went into effect, there was consideration of subsistence use, the number of animals that needed to be available for subsistence uses, that was trying to capture, based on the best information that we had, all subsistence uses in the state, not just exclusively in the Otna communities. Now, I'm not saying that that number shouldn't be revisited. Perhaps it's inaccurate now. We're several years later, but I think when it was initially developed, it was the intent of the board was to capture all subsistence uses and provide a reasonable opportunity for that number rather than just the Otna group or the eight Otna communities.
Mr. Chairman, Member Sagerova, this is Cheryl. I wasn't around at 2009. I have read all of the transcripts of the committee meeting and the board meetings from that period, and I've seen what the court has said about the change in the ANS, and they upheld what the board did. The board did rely on information provided from the subsistence division as well as public comment and discussion that occurred at the meeting. The court challenge was to the change in the caribou ANS. I don't recall seeing a court challenge to the moose change. But the court upheld that the board did act with act reasonably with the evidence that was before it.
Okay, Teresa, any follow-up questions?
No, that was all I had.
Okay, good. Any additional questions, comments?
Just a quick one, Mr. Chair.
Question on B. Nate, go ahead.
Yep. My whole goal for leaning forward into this one was to try to both provide more harvest opportunity for local people and non-local people and everybody that's participating in these hunts through the CSH program and even the Tier 1 program, because we have surplus animals out there that need to be harvested. This has gotten really messy. I don't even see it passing. I'm going to not vote in support of this right now. I'm going to vote it down as a personal vote, primarily because I've already expressed the sympathy for the people that asked for us to not take extreme action at this meeting, wanting more time, and that's why we're talking about having another meeting. I was going to make an exception on this harvest thing for conservation reasons on the caribou harvest, but it doesn't look to me like this is going forward, so I won't be supporting it.
Ready for the question on 154B?
I call for the question on 154B.
Okay, the question has been called. Christy, would you poll the board on 154B as written?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Final action on proposal 154B. Ms. Sagerova?
No.
Mr. Fanning?
No.
Mr. Hoffman?
Yes.
Chairman Spraker?
No.
Vice Chairman Turner?
No.
And Mr. Brown?
No.
Proposal fails by a vote of 1 yea to 5 nays.
Mr. Chairman, this is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
I would move to table proposal 154C.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we table 154C. Any further discussion?
I'd like to ask Teresa to explain her reasoning.
Mr. Chairman, point of order, a motion to table is not subject to debate, I don't believe.
Right,
we just voted up or down.
You're correct. Thanks for catching that. I think it's been a long day.
Yeah.
Okay. been moved and seconded that we table 154C. Christy, would you poll the board, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to table, the motion is to table proposal 154C. Vice Chairman Turner?
No, I don't understand it.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Ms. Sager-Alba?
Yes.
Mr. Fanning?
Yes.
Mr. Hoffman?
No.
And Chairman Spraker?
Yes.
The motion to table carries by a vote of 4 yeas to 2 nays.
Okay, so that's tabled.
We
want to discuss a time. Usually when we table something, we have some time certain to the following meeting. Otherwise, at the end of the meeting when we adjourn, it goes away. So, Teresa, did you have an idea on when you wanted to bring this back?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just briefly speak to it. No, I did not have a motion to table to a time certain. And my objective was simply to get us past being bogged down in these three proposals and talk about the other point of discussion that hasn't really come up as a motion, which is whether or not we're going to have a special meeting. I think that is really at the heart of the matter, and if we're not going to have a special meeting, then continuing on with proposals doesn't seem to make sense in terms of chronology. So that was my only intent in tabling the proposal.
Okay, very clear. Members, I guess we're ready to discuss. We'd have to have a motion special meeting. We've kicked around some ideas as far as, you know, maybe this spring, early March. Christie's provided a timeline for us. I think the 9th and the 13th of March, if I remember correctly, might be the days. But I'll just leave it at that. What's your desires on possibly taking another look at this? Also, make comments on whether or not you want to open this to a limited call. And then I'll make my own comments. But board members, any comments on a special meeting?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to – do you want me to comment or if I'm ready to make a motion?
Let's go ahead and make a motion. I always rather have a motion on the table we can address rather than just talk and then later on come up with something. So let's have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Cheryl. Under the statutes, two members of the board can call a special meeting.
I think that's where we're going right now. Would that suffice if we have an affirmative vote on a motion to have a special meeting, or do we need to just call it separately by two board members?
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment real quick.
Well, wait, let me get Cheryl's opinion, because I would rather have a discussion of all the board members that we have present rather than just two members call it, if that's still legitimate, Cheryl.
Mr. Chairman, you can go ahead and put a motion on the table and vote on it, but you will not need a vote of four.
Okay, good point. I didn't realize that. This is different from our normal voting process.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would rather go through the normal process as we usually do for the sake of board discussion and everyone to have their ideas out there. So the public is also listening, and I would rather go through normal processes, regardless of how the vote may be different in this circumstance, rather than use parliamentary tricks or anything to accomplish goals.
Well, it's not a trick. It's just part of our process. But that was actually new to me. I didn't realize that under this situation when a motion was made, that because we're looking at calling a special meeting, I do understand 1605.310, I think it's the one we just referenced earlier, that the commissioner or two members can call a special meeting. And, again, that was was enlightening to me that we could just take a vote of two that would guarantee a special meeting. So with that in mind, we probably need to develop some sort of sideboards on this meeting, and that's what I'm interested in hearing comments on.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll do it through a motion to have a special meeting. I'd move that the Board of Game has a special meeting to be taken up in March 2017, date yet to be determined. This meeting will allow for an open call for proposals in relation to the Copper Basin Community Subsistence Hunts.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we have a meeting sometime in March, that we open the call for additional proposals, comments, and so forth. Any further comments?
Yeah, this is Member Brown.
Go ahead, Dave.
Is this going to be a teleconference meeting, or will it be held in Anchorage?
I think this is going to probably be, it's Region 4, so it will probably be Wasilla, and it will probably be a face-to-face meeting, if it's going to be a couple days.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was concerned about. I really want people to be able to come and talk, and I think this is a tough process over the phone.
I am on my third telephone. Two have run out. The batteries have run out. I'm on my third phone that's blinking right now. So, any other comments?
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
I think Member Turner's motion referred only to the community hunts, and I don't know if that was intentional, but it seems like we might want to you know, these are all kind of intertwined. I think it might need to be broadened to include moose and caribou hunting in it would have to be more than just Unit 13, I guess, because the community hunt area includes parts of 11 and 12 and so on. Anyway, maybe Member Turner could just clarify if that was his intent.
At this late in the day, I don't know what my intent was. No, actually, I was referring to the subsistence hunts. If other board members see value in expanding it out, I'd like to hear from several board members on it if we could. But I would be willing to amend or adjust my motion if necessary. Or someone else is willing to do so, that's fine with me, too.
Mr. Chair?
Stosh, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Again, I'll state what I've been stating throughout the meeting, and I'm supportive of this only if we get some commitments from the Board of Game and from the department that any action that we come up with or any ideas that we do our best to implement these and get them going for the 2017 hunting season.
Well, Stosh, if we have a meeting in March, if this is accepted, and we make some positive changes, they would be in place. They could be in place 2017. It kind of depends on if we have people already committed and signed up for 2017. You know, we don't want to make changes and jeopardize their plans. But that would be the surest way to get something going for 2017 is to have a mid-March meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that comment, but I just, to me, a lot of this is if it's just going to get kicked down the road and we're not going to get anywhere. I've stressed earlier that the people in the area, the residents of Unit 13, and are not getting the meat they need. And if we're going to not do this to implement it soon, then I can't support it. We need to get meat on the table for the people in the residents in the area.
And I fully understand that. And, you know, we are kind of kicking the can down the road now, but I think with good reason, and we'll still have time in March to address issues. And if there's something we can do for the 2017 hunting season that benefits, the majority of the users, around the country that are there hunting, we can probably do that. But going back to the motion and Teresa's comments, I originally thought this should have been limited just to the community subsistence hunts. That's kind of the issue we have before us today. When you're in Tier 1 Plus, I don't see where the Tier 1 hunters need to be involved in this, or the draw hunts, or any of the others, just the community subsistence hunts. But that's my read on it. I would limit the call just to those. But I would not use just Unit 13, because you did have a good point that these community hunts, you know, they're broader than that. There's portions and, you know, other parts, but...
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, actually, that is, I did intend when I had already written out the motion beforehand, and I did intend it to address the CSH hunts, but it is correct that I should clarify that it, instead of saying Copper Basin Community Subsistence Hunts, I should also add in units 11, 12, and 13. That was my intent.
Teresa, does that satisfy your concern?
Well, I guess my question, and maybe the department can help answer this, related to my concern, is if, for example, at a future meeting, the board decides, this is just for example, to do away with the community hunt, then what, you know, then do we have the latitude to also consider modifications to other hunts and the hunt structures in those areas to accommodate or to provide for subsistence uses? That's where I'm coming from with this.
Mr. Chair, this is Bruce.
Yes, but I'd hope the department could answer that one.
Mr. Chair, this is Bruce.
Bruce, go ahead.
Thank you. We had the same discussion when we considered what regulations should be opened for this meeting. And because of the complexity and the interrelatedness of these hunts, it's better to, we concluded that it was better to, you know, broadly open it up to proposals or open it up because, for example, if you decide to uncouple, it's been mentioned a couple of times here, or make some other change like that where the hunts are related, where there's potential for one hunt affecting another hunt and requiring some remedial action, as we discussed with, if you just increase the bag limit for the CSH, what would that have effect that would that have on the Tier 1 hunt? There's lots of things that are, it's so complicated that you need it open up broadly, and that does mean more proposals, but it allows you to make any of the other repairs that you need to for this hunt, for this area.
Okay. Bruce and Teresa, let me just kind of throw something out here. Due to the lateness of the day and the fact that we've been talking all day about these issues, I think the board can make a clear statement of intent that, okay, the motion is that we would like to have a meeting in March. We've got some discussion going on about how broad it should be on the call, and perhaps we could leave that up to the department to recognize and describe how broad the call needs to be to capture all these hunts. But I'm afraid if we do it right now, we're going to either add too much in or we're going to miss something. I don't feel comfortable just trying to capture everything right now. Although I hate to, you know, not make a clear decision from the board other than, you know, show our intent on what we want to do in this meeting. Bruce, is that something that you could work with? Or can you just give us an idea right now on how broad this motion should be and how far reaching these calls should go?
Mr. Chair, we think it should be the same as this call.
Okay.
We looked it through it. You know, so many things have been thrown out. For example, the possibility of Tier 2, for example. Well, that would require probably getting rid of some other drawing hunt or something like that. So just the same as this call. We were a lot sharper when we came up with this one, and we didn't run into any trouble, so that's what I would recommend.
Okay, that clears it up then.
Mr. Chair, to expedite things, I would be okay with that. That makes sense. And the department has correctly noted a number of the options that we've thrown out there were going in directions that could impact hunts outside of the CSH.
Okay.
No problems.
Okay. So right now, you know, to kind of summarize the motion, it's to have a meeting sometime in March, and the call will be similar to the call we had for this proposal. And any other parts of that, Nate?
No, I believe you captured it. Also understanding that it was going to include 11, 12, and 13, all three units.
Right. Okay. Any other comments on this motion to schedule a meeting? Okay, hearing none, I guess we're ready for the question on this.
Mr. Chair, I call for the question on my motion.
Okay, the question's been called and recognized. Christy, would you poll the board? And again, realizing we only need two positive votes to adopt this one.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On the motion to call a special meeting in March, I'm not going to go into any other detail, and then knowing that it only takes two board members to call a special board meeting. So I will begin with Member Sager-Alba.
Yes.
Mr. Fanning.
Yes.
And Mr. Hoffman.
Yes.
Chairman Spraker.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Turner.
Yes.
And Mr. Brown.
Yes.
That motion carries 6-0.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Board members, it's been a long day. I think we've certainly covered a lot of ground. I think we've accomplished a few things today. I think we've put a lot of interesting things on the record, though, and we have a lot of work ahead of us to do. So any final comments? I think we're, Christy, are we getting pretty close to finishing?
Well, I think so. Trying to think what if we're missing anything. Yeah, I'm just going to check some other things real quick, but I think we're good.
Chairman Spraker, what was the tentative dates on that March meeting?
Well, I think we're talking about the 9th and or the 13th, and Christy can send out a note. Kind of see when people are available for that one, but 9 and 13 in March.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, that's actually something. The location of the meeting, I don't know that the board wants to discuss that a little bit. It was mentioned Wasilla because of the area. So just to confirm that direction. I guess another question I may have is that if I'm unable to find a meeting venue in Wasilla, then should I pursue a location in Anchorage or Fairbanks? Any preference there by the board?
Board members, comments on where?
My vote is for Anchorage.
Anchorage?
I'll say Anchorage.
Yeah, I would prefer Wasilla because it's in region 4, but Anchorage is fine with me as well. Wherever you can find a good place and, maybe save a little money for the board, Christy.
My preference is for Wasilla also, and Anchorage is the second.
I agree with Member Turner.
Okay. Yep.
I'll say the same. Wasilla is the first, and Anchorage is the second.
Okay. Well, Christy, try to find something in Wasilla. If you can't find anything there, we'll go to Anchorage, I guess, and maybe shoot us an email on the dates once you've found a place and availability, we'll check schedules.
I might have misunderstood some responses, but any objection if I do that, going to Wasilla first, then Anchorage?
Yeah, that was kind of the vote 4-2.
Mr. Chair?
Josh, go ahead.
We tabled a proposal earlier. Would that, are we going to bring that up there as well?
No, it'll have to come back. And I think it should come back in this other special meeting rather than try to sort that out now. Unless there's a vote to remove it from the table. But I think at this late date, this late time, it's after 5 o'clock, my third phone is about to quit on me anyway. I think we should just have those authors readjust that proposal or submit it the way it is now and bring it back this next meeting, and we'll have a thorough time to flesh it out.
I'm sorry to drag this on, Mr. Chair, but my vote was the vote count I had was 3-3 for location of Anchorage versus Wasilla. Do you, maybe someone wants to make a motion if we need to vote or ask objection or unanimous consent?
Okay, maybe I heard incorrectly. I thought Kip, Teresa, Nate, and I all said Wasilla first and then Anchorage second, and then Stosh and Dave said Anchorage first. Did I mischaracterize someone's vote?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Board members, anything else today?
Mr. Chair, this is Teresa. You said something earlier that I'm not sure I heard correctly. Proposal 154C, I think that if we adjourn, that dies as a proposal that stands on its own. Of course, anything can be submitted for the special meeting, but I guess I just want to make that clear while we're still in session here, just so that Member Hoffman, if he wants to move forward with a motion to take it from the table, I think would be the only thing that would keep it alive. I don't think it moves on to the next meeting automatically.
I tried to characterize that properly. I hope I said that that's when I asked you about a time certain, because if you don't designate some time certain for it, it dies at the end of this meeting. We adjourn, and
right.
You're correct on that. And I tried to say that, probably I didn't, but just to make it very clear, if no one brings it up and it's removed from the table, that proposal 154C is gone. But what I was also saying is that the authors can take that same proposal and bring it back under the new call in the March meeting. So, yeah, it's gone today when we adjourn.
Okay, I'm on the same page with you then. Thank you.
Okay.
And that would be along with the original proposal 154?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the entire thing has failed. Any last comments? Now I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, I move to adjourn.
We're adjourned. We don't need a second on that one. Thank you very much. Everybody put in a long day today. I hope you recorded your favorite football game and so forth. But thank you very much. It's been a long day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Talk to you next time.
Good job.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.